You are listening to Zoom, the retro comic book show.
A red wine.
Welcome to Zoom. I'm your host, Timmy Zoom. In this episode, I'm about to read, just review the weirdest, most fucked up comic I've read in a long time. It's fucked up. It's fucked up and it's weird. I shouldn't say it's the weirdest, but it's pretty fucked up. Okay, I read Satan Sodomy Baby, or whatever that comic is, by the guy who did Eric Powell, the guy who did The Goon. That's weird. That's fucked up. But this comic disturbed me more than that. This comic disturbed me more than The Boys by Garth Ennis. This comic disturbed me about as much as the most disturbing issue of Preacher by Garth Ennis. This comic disturbed me more than the fact that Michael Jackson was a parent. Okay, maybe it doesn't disturb me that much. This comic is called Fame, Lady Gaga, by Blue Water Comics. And Blue Water Comics is some comic company that's been out for the past few years, and they've been releasing for the past few years biography comics about, you know, famous people, Ronald Reagan, Barack Obama. Then they have a line of famous women, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, and Carolyn Kennedy. Now, that's really a piece of crap. Carolyn Kennedy, I'll get on that later. I'll probably review that comic because I can't believe they wrote a comic for her. But they did some other comics that aren't even interesting to me, about old movie licenses that they've purchased. But this summer they released, over comic book free comic book day, a comic book called Fame, Lady Gaga, and I couldn't find it anywhere at all. And I just found, I couldn't even find it online, torrent, but I finally found it, and I read it, and I'm flabbergasted. I'm fucking flabbergasted. It's Lady Gaga. They do a bunch of biography comics, so I assumed that it would be a biography of Lady Gaga. And I was wrong. I was also wrong. It opens up with a TV screen and a bunch of performances by rock bands, current rock bands. Now, one, I assume, first image on this TV is a woman man. Think of Chyna, the wrestler from WWE, and her muscular, almost man-like body, but she still has breasts, and it's weird. That's what this creature is that I'm looking at right now, and the face is kind of, she's got a strong jawline, and she's dancing, and I assume it's Fergie. It has to be Fergie. She's singing some of the lyrics of a real song, but I can't recognize the lyrics. It says "people in this place," and she's singing, and it goes off. So I assume it's Fergie. It's probably Black Eyed Peas. And then the next band is, from afar, it could be any band, but I think it's Nickelback. And the caption over the screen is reading, "Is this what it comes down to? This is what people are listening to." So they dissing Fergie. They dissing Nickelback, two of the better pop bands that's out there, and they dissing them. And the lyric that Nickelback is singing is, "I was blindfolded, but now I'm seeing." And we see the person who's watching the TV screen, a fat, probably 30-something year old dude with a t-shirt and a baseball cap that says Bowie, like David Bowie, on it. And he says, "This is music? Where's the pizzazz? Where's the glam?" Then he criticizes the lyric, "I was blindfolded, but now I'm seeing. That's freshman year creative writing class, man." Meanwhile, we're supposed to get behind this guy who's just basically a couch potato. And his life is so uninspired. He's sitting in a armchair that's all beaten up in a, you know, a beat down apartment or home, whatever it is, and his wife criticizes him. Says, "Hey, Lester Bangs, can you take the garbage out? The flies are getting in here." So he's got a nagging wife in a robe who's also like him, overweight, and she calls him Lester Bangs. That shows you how dated this is. Okay, and he's too lazy to change the channel because the remote, the batteries in the remote are dead, and he lost the back of the remote control, you know, the back that keeps the batteries in, and he has it taped up. I've done that. Okay, I admit I've done that, so I guess everybody's done that. Then he goes on to wax poetic about the music of days of yore. He says, "These bands today, they don't have any of the style that our bands have. Bowie, Freddie, and Queen. Even friggin' Blondie could outplay them." So I guess Blondie was just the pop band of the of his era. So he's saying even she can outdo them. But Blondie and Black Eyed Peas are as good as each other. You know, either one of those are better than the other. Blondie sang a lot of disco, and she even did a song called Rapture, which is a horrible rap that she had. It's all brainless pop music. Okay, Queen gets on my nerves because they've played the death out of them. Okay, Bowie, he was good, but the thing is, I hate when people do shit like this. The music of our time was good. We had good music back in the day, and now they had shit. The music of back in the day was no better than the music of today. It's just that it's not your style of music, and you're old, and you dating yourself. Okay, that's it. And I challenge anybody to come at me with that. The only thing you can say about musicians back then is that they played their instruments. And when you do play your instruments, you can come up with some more original tunes than people who sample and people who use the Casio keyboard and shit like that. But you can come up, this innovative shit that they're coming up with is still an instrument, a keyboard. So I don't see how it's any worse than the bands of the 70s, because the bands of the 70s and 80s were still shit bands that record companies could market, and they gave radio station DJs coke, hookers, and tickets to concerts to play their shit on the radio. So it's the same shit they played Paul Anka, Captain Antonil, and I don't care what you say, Elton John. That is no better than Timbaland or the Black Eyed Peas or Jay-Z, period, or Miley Cyrus. It's the same shit. Okay, let me get down off my box, my high horse. Okay, but this guy here, he's about to get up and take the garbage out, and he's asking, where's the fun in music? Where's the willingness to take risks? There's nothing. And meanwhile, he's got MTV on, and this is right here, you can tell this is a fucking fake, or this guy who wrote this comic book is way out of touch, because MTV first of all, they got the MTV logo right on the TV. MTV don't play fucking music no more. Now, yes, there's MTV2, but this isn't MTV2. On this TV screen, it says MTV. MTV2 is the one with the dog. It's got an M and a dog with two heads as the logo. This is not that. This is the old school MTV logo. You can't watch MTV and get music. That's a lie. You're a fucking lie, comic book. Anyway, his wife is still nagging him about taking out the garbage, even though she could take out the garbage. They have shit all over their floor, like papers and clothes laying all over the floor. It's a disgusting place. This is depressing. But he, at least you could say one thing about this. Okay, yeah, there is some shit music nowadays, and he is a real music historian, and he doesn't appreciate the shit of today. So even though he's a lazy fuck who's good for nothing, supposedly that's what it seems like, he knows his music, and he gets up and walks away from the television only to be transfixed by an image that comes on the TV, Lady Gaga, and she starts singing that horrendous song, Poker Face, Poker Face, Poker Face, And he stops in his tracks and he looks and says, "What is this?" And his wife tells him that it's a new artist, Lady Gaga, Lady something, she says. And his wife just gives up and she takes out the garbage. This is fucking... So the guy goes to the record store the next day and he's talking with the record clerk, store clerk. It's an independent record store, you could tell. They don't exist anymore either. And they're talking about the music that's been released by Ron Rhino and some greatest hits by this group called Big Star. So he's talking about the old school shit. But then he asked the record store guy about Lady Gaga. And the guy says, yeah, she's selling like hotcakes. And he pretends that he wants the Lady Gaga CD for his niece. And he goes back, gets the album, and he sees these little teeny bopper girls. They're singing, they're talking about Pink and how weird Pink is. But yeah, y'all listen to Lady Gaga, but Pink is weird. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, the guy goes on thinking about David Bowie and saying the kids suck because they don't know who David Bowie is. And so he finds Lady Gaga CD. And the three teeny boppers, they giggle and they criticize him. They, Lady Gaga, get your groove on, guy. This doesn't exist. This doesn't fucking exist. If anybody in a record store picks up Lady Gaga CD, you could be an 80-year-old man. Nobody's going to say nothing or care that you're listening to fucking Lady Gaga. Everybody listens to Lady Gaga because that's all they fucking play on the fucking radio. Anyway, let's see here. He tells his wife that he bought Big Star's new compilation box set, whoever Big Star is, and he doesn't tell her about Lady Gaga, and he gets transfixed by a woman who has a Lady Gaga t-shirt on, and he bumps into other people, and his wife asked him to go get some chicken nuggets at McDonald's. Now, this is a recurring theme in here. McDonald's is all through here. Him and his wife eat at McDonald's all the time. What is the writer getting at here? Forget the writer. But this is interesting to me. Okay, he's sitting in front of his computer. This guy, this fat middle-aged guy who's balding, he's having a fantasy about talking to Lady Gaga. And it's weird because he starts talking to her. She's talking, of course, about herself and how great she is and how she loves the fame and she's selling all these records. And the guy says, "You know what? Did you know that I consider myself bisexual? There's something beautiful about a woman that really inspires me." Now, Lady Gaga has said this, and this is the weird mix where he's talking to her and she's saying what she says in interviews. And then all of a sudden, he has his head on her body and he's saying the words about being bisexual. Meanwhile, he's dreaming all this. Slobber is coming out of his mouth. He falls on the floor and wakes up. And he's upset that he's in a dream. And he only dreamt it. And it's not real. Then he has another flashback later on where she's... more Lady Gaga interview stuff where she's saying she never liked school. Everyone thought she was a freak. And he relates. And he sees himself as one of her classmates wearing one of the Catholic school girl skirts. And this is creepy to me, okay? In the background, there's kids playing football and playing basketball. It's weird. It's just weird. And we see Lady Gaga when she was in school. Of course, she looks like herself, you know, but wearing a Catholic school outfit, even though, you know, she probably was a dog in high school, because she's not even that cute now. And she's talking about how the nuns in her Catholic school didn't like her, and how she used to roll her skirt way too high, because she liked being naughty. Is this what constitutes rebellion nowadays? This is just sad. So the guy is still dreaming. He wakes up. His wife wakes him up. And she sees that he's watching Lady Gaga videos, and she's saying, Lady Gaga, really? And he's embarrassed. And she says, what happened to Big Scar or Queen or any of the other groups? Okay, this is weird to me, why he's so embarrassed and everybody is embarrassing him about watching Lady Gaga. Everybody listens to fucking Lady Gaga nowadays. Everybody. And for the record, I can't stand any of her music except for her first single, Let's Dance, and that song she did with Beyonce, Telephone. Those are the only good ones. And I only listened to that on the radio because they played it to death. So, you know, I really don't have to buy her album, or I can just download it off the internet because her music is not good. But why is this guy being embarrassed that he likes Lady Gaga? Why is his wife trying to embarrass him? And she says, how about Big Star or Queen, the Raspberries? I don't know who these groups are except Queen. Queen and Blondie were the 70s version of Lady Gaga. So why is it to be embarrassed? And at work, he's singing Lady Gaga all day, and he's disrupting his co-workers, and they want to know... want to know why he's singing. His wife calls him at the job, and she teases him about liking Lady Gaga, but she's across the street from his job. Now, of course, his job is the cubicles, of course, the maze of cubicles, like in Brazil. That's what it reminds me of, in a sterile work environment. And he can look right out the window and see his wife across the street in front of the McDonald's. And she says that she told him to come over for his... Or at least at his job, he's not like a slave to his desk. He can go out to lunch whenever he wants to. She wants him to come across the street to McDonald's. And he says, order for me. They still got the McRib thing going on? Give me a McRib. I'll be right down. Okay, first of all, the McRib... This comic came out in May. The McRib is, I think, a seasonal thing, only in the fall. And ironically, the McRib is back as I'm doing this review, but it wasn't out when this comic came out. But anyway, I'm gonna, you know, maybe this comic was set in November sometime. And his wife says, "Okay, I get you the McRib, but you know you're gonna get rib sauce on your work shirt, and we're out of bleach." Oh, this is so domestic and so depressing. And he says, order me extra napkins, too. I have a problem with that. You don't order extra napkins. You get extra napkins. You just get them. You don't order extra napkins. And okay, now they're playing Lady Gaga over the speakers at the McDonald's. And this is so blatant. I mean, they just got McDonald's, even though... Forget it. They're advertising for fucking McDonald's and Lady Gaga. His wife is teasing him about Lady Gaga. And he says, this is weird too, okay? She says, your girlfriend is everywhere these days, meaning Lady Gaga. Any swearing in this song? You bet McDonald's will block that out. Okay, why would you think there'd be swearing in a pop song over the McDonald's radio? Why do you care if McDonald's blocks out the swearing? I get to his wife later. But she says it's no big deal that she's teasing him about Lady Gaga, but she says it's no big deal because everybody has their fantasy. And then his wife makes a reference to Rick Springfield and how she imagines Rick Springfield as her fantasy. So this really dates the motherfucker who wrote this comic. And I'm wondering why they didn't write this comic about Lady Gaga. Why it isn't a biography of Lady Gaga. Why is it through the eyes of a middle-aged man and his wife, his overweight wife, who works at a regular job and goes to McDonald's every fucking day. He says, okay, let's see here. Oh, his wife is happy that he's into Lady Gaga because it's something from the 21st century. Listen, bitch, there's a bunch of shit from the 21st century that you could listen to. Why would you listen to Lady Gaga out of all of that, especially when you like Queen and David Bowie and stuff like that? Well, like I said, David Bowie is the Lady Gaga of the 70s, so I guess it matches. But she's happy that he's finally up to date, and he's imagining his wife looking like Lady Gaga. He's got Lady Gaga's ugly head on his face, his wife's fat body. So it's like really freaky, okay? And then you can see the like folds and fat of his wife's neck. Meanwhile, Lady Gaga's little skinny head is on top and she's eating chicken nuggets. And she urges her husband to write about Lady Gaga because he's losing his creative edge, like the writer of this comic book. And he goes back to work and starts singing Lady Gaga so loud, and his co-worker tells him to shut the fuck up because he can't concentrate on his work. And the guy starts singing more lyrics from Lady Gaga. Then he's sent to the boss's office, and the boss is like, this is scary because this is like real life, and this is like those movies like Brazil and other movies where they and The Incredibles, where the boss calls in Mr. Incredible to his office because he wants him to act, you know, he wants him to be normal like everybody else. And that's what the boss is saying there. He's like, Bill, we're a data entry company. When people hit the wrong keys, it's like having the fire department put out a fire with a kerosene. Because he's saying the guy singing causes his workers to be distracted and they hit the wrong keys. It's so bland and it's so true. Data entry, that is the most non-specific, anybody could do that fucking job. It is so rote and it's such a machine-like job. This is depressing comic. And he says, the guy says, I understand, Mr. Simmons, but I was holding that in my whole life, you know. I had to let it out, and it felt good. And I hate movies and stories like this where the protagonist has chained himself down and had a whole repressed life, okay, of 30 or 40 years of repression. And then they listen to something in pop culture, and then they become like that pop culture icon because they become obsessed with that pop culture icon. It's so fucking depressing. It's like, okay, so Lady Gaga, the most blandest music out there, and it's a song that basically the corporations want you to listen to and support so they can make more money, and it has no imagination to it. This is what brings you out of your repression? Because, once again, this is all they got. They got MTV, or I shouldn't say MTV, but you know, they got cable TV and whatever, and the radio and whatever they play that they want you to listen to, and you got your work life, which is no imagination whatsoever, bland, and your home life, your fat wife and you who eat McDonald's every day, and the only escape is through another corporate outlet, Clear Channel Radio, playing Lady Gaga. So fucked up. His boss continued to talk to him about it. He said, I don't know, Bill, this is out of character. I didn't even know you he said, until today, I didn't even know you still worked here. Why? And he did. And to this, Bill, instead of Bill saying, you know what, fuck you, I quit, or whatever, boss, you know, don't talk to me like that, he says, you know, Lady Gaga, top pop star, she's got her start performing at bars after she dropped from her first label, after she dropped from her first label without even ever writing a record. I mean, what the fuck? He's talking about Lady Gaga. And his boss, I like this line, his boss says, are you talking to me? And he keeps talking about Lady Gaga, and he gets a bright idea. Next scene. Everybody's in McDonald's waiting in line to order their poison. And all of a sudden, you see feet open, you know, you see the feet of our protagonist as he opens the door of McDonald's, and it says, squeak. You know, the door squeaks like he's sneaking into a door, you know, into the doorway of someone's home. But this is McDonald's. The doors don't squeak. You just push the door open. But anyway, we only see his feet, his shoes, and the people in line look. One of the women says, oh my. And then this tripped me out because there's a lot of black people in line. Of course, we all. I think I see myself in line, actually, a brother with glasses wearing the type of clothes that I wear. But anyway, what's weird to me, okay, there's a lot of black people, there's a couple of white people, but there's a white woman with her arm around a black child. And the child has to be about 12 or 13, so she's not a babysitter. Why is this? This is weird to me. This grown white woman got her arm around a little black boy. I don't understand that. That's weird. The writer just didn't, the artist just didn't care. He said, let me draw people at McDonald's. I don't care what race they are. Okay. But anyway, or the color is somebody fucked up. But anyway, at the sight of our hero, which we don't see yet, everybody in line turns around and stares at him. A woman says, oh my. And then another brother in line says, shit, I don't want a Big Mac now. Because I guess he's grossed out by this image. And I kind of figure what he's going to see. And yes, it is the protagonist of the story in his work clothes with a boombox and a microphone attached. And he's wearing a blonde wig. Okay. And he says, Lady Gaga once said she is obsessively opposed to the typical. I like to think that she and I have that in common. Okay, if that's the case, why are you working at a rote job every day? You got a typical wife. You typically go to McDonald's every day. And you're listening to the typical music that everybody else is listening to. And then he starts imagining that Lady Gaga is there with him, and they start singing one of her horrible songs. And the wife walks into McDonald's because she's predictable too. She comes to McDonald's every day to meet him for lunch, and she sees him singing his heart out. Everybody in line is laughing at her, laughing at him, I mean, and the wife is like, what the fuck? And there's more shit about with him imagining that he's in this nether world talking to Lady Gaga and dancing and singing with her. And Lady Gaga wants him to come and be with her because he's so creative. Even though, what's creative about putting on a blonde wig and going into a McDonald's and singing like any other nut? There's a thousand. I can find people like that every day in LA. But anyway, the wife has her, she's looking ashamed with her head down, and she's filming her husband with her phone, her cell phone. And it's the moment he sees his wife, he says, oh, I almost forgot it was just me. And he pulls his wig off, ashamed. Now, what's the resolution to this? How does this wife and husband resolve this? Cut to a scene of Lady Gaga, and somebody from her entourage off screen is saying, Lady Gaga, did you see this? And she says, what is it? There's a fan at a fast food restaurant somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I guess that's what the United States is. That isn't LA or New York. It's the middle of nowhere. And we see the post at the bottom of the video, I guess, is supposed to say, my sexy husband, the most creative soul in the universe. And the lackey, the Lady Gaga lackey, says, that's pretty weird, huh? And Lady Gaga says, yes, that is weird. Just weird enough. Let's find this guy. There's always room for one more in the house of Gaga. And the story ends there. What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that? There was no resolution. Oh, this is how they handle it. The wife puts video of her husband on YouTube to humiliate him, even though he's obviously had a midlife crisis and a nervous breakdown. And she calls her husband sexy. Yes, because all women who think they're overweight, balding husbands wearing blonde wigs and sashaying to Lady Gaga music and pretending, thinking that Lady Gaga is sitting there next to them, singing next to them. Yeah, that's what all women find sexy. This insult, this comic is an insult. It's an insult, okay, to comic book readers, Lady Gaga fans, the middle-aged white men. It's an insult to everything. It's an insult to my intelligence. What the fuck does this comic have to do with Lady Gaga? What does a middle-aged man being obsessed with Lady Gaga because his life is so fucking empty, what does it got to do with any fucking thing? I want to know right now. Why wouldn't you just do a standard biography comic for fans of Lady Gaga? That's why this comic book sucks. I'm angry. I'm pissed. You know what? I'm so frazzled and upset by this comic that I have to discuss this with somebody. I have to know why Blue Water Comics did this. Why? So, I'll be back in a few moments with Courtney, because I have to call her. She has to explain this to me. Why they do this? Why?
You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
It's McRib time, so get ready for tender pork on a warm roll, smothered with pickles, onions, sauce, and more sauce. Oh, yeah.
From Archie Andrews to Sippy the Clown, Captain Canuck to Howard the Duck, we got your comics. We got your comics right here. Here. Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah.
All right. You ready? Okay, so I already reviewed this comic book, and I'm just going to introduce this segment talking about why. I have to ask the question why it did it, so I'm just going to...
Well, this is a Blue Water comic, so really you can't expect a lot of quality or logic out of it.
No, but all the other Blue Water comics were biographies, straight biographies. Why they make this comic... And why they make it this way.
It's very abstract and weird. And also, oh my god, don't get me started on the artwork. It's just hideous. Like, either people are really muscular and, like, giant hands and features and that sort of stuff. And, like, the main character, he's supposed to be overweight, but it's just, like, he's really muscular and then suddenly he's got a pillow stuffed down his shirt.
Yeah, that is weird, but he just got a beer belly. But I just want to know why they did it. Why this comic supposed to go to younger kids who like Lady Gaga? Why it's not a biography of her at all? It's just about this middle-aged guy
yeah.
Who doesn't even like her type of music. Well, he doesn't like new music. Go ahead.
Apparently, he likes
David Bowie.
Glam rock, like David Bowie and Queen and all that. But then his wife mentions Nickelback, so I don't know if that was just her not knowing or
he doesn't like Nickelback or anything new. He likes only old stuff, but for some reason he loves Lady Gaga. I need to know why they made this comic like this. Why they
had I think they're trying to say, oh, she's a return to, you know, the classic glam rock style, which, see, I've been really divided on Lady Gaga since she came about. Like, I think Amanda fucking Palmer, put it best when she said, basically, that it's good that she's out there, she's allowing this weird creative style to be more accepted, but at the same time, she's not the most original, and her music, like, if you've never seen Lady Gaga and you just heard her music, it doesn't stand out from the crowd.
No, it doesn't. And to me, she's not that. Also, what she put weird stuff on. She wears meat, and she has weird kind of outfits. That's nothing. They've been doing that.
Yeah, it looks like she's just going through Grace Jones's wardrobe.
but like you said, her music isn't nothing unique, and she doesn't even write her stuff. She's the same as any of these other pop people, so I don't know why they have this middle-aged guy. I'm perplexed why they have this middle-aged guy.
I know, it's just, she's being praised as this revolution, but she isn't really. I mean, because I like costumes and stuff, I can appreciate some of the things she wears, but beyond that, oh, okay, so maybe her music is catchy, but beyond that, I don't think it's anything that's going to change the world.
You're right, but I just don't know who they think would like to read this comic book with this main character guy rebelling at his job. It's depressing to me. They got McDonald's all in this comic book. Him and his fat wife
working
at McDonald's. He works at a regular job with cubicles, very sterile. And then all of a sudden, Lady Gaga frees him. I don't know what's going on here.
Is this sponsored by a McDonald's or
no,
what?
No, this is just a Blue Water comic. So I don't know why. I'm flabbergasted. And the last scene I want to talk about, what's up with the last scene where he decides to break free and go.
He loses his shit and starts performing Lady Gaga in a.
and his wife comes in and he's like, "Oh, I'm just me." And he takes his wig off, all sad. But it's like, you knew your wife comes. She comes to McDonald's every day at this time to meet you for lunch. So why?
Yeah, it was a mental breakdown. It wasn't being creative or original.
Exactly. And you know what it reminded me of? When he was talking to his boss, it reminded me of that scene from Incredibles where the guy, Mr. Incredible, was at his job and his boss was like, at him because he wasn't doing things like they supposed to do at the company. And then he finally beats his boss up. But...
God, I love that movie so much.
But this is not good. See, that in a good way. This is not good. And okay, yeah,
it's just.
Go ahead.
They cross the line between, you know, being yourself and, you know, breaking free from, you know, this conformism. And then they just sort of mixed it with psychotic and crazy. It's just, yeah, how do I even articulate? No,
it's the ending, but it's the ending that really is fucked up. Okay, because like you say, he did have a nervous breakdown. His wife seems ashamed, and I'm like, okay, what's going to happen to their marriage?
Oh, yes, that's right. He was being praised as being creative by his wife, and then apparently Lady Gaga finds him too. No, that's not. See, that's the thing with Lady Gaga. She's just weird for the sake of it. There's no purpose to what she's doing that's quirky and out there. Like, I'm trying to think of another artist who sort of is that quirky, but for a reason.
Would you say David Bowie, does he fit that for a reason?
Well, yeah, I mean, David Bowie, I think it's all part of a performance. Like, the characters that he creates, you know, there was a meaning to it, and. With Lady Gaga, it's like there's not another persona. Lady Gaga is the persona, and she just wears whatever. But what is it about this character? We don't know anything. There's just no point, it seems.
Yeah, that's the thing. He seems ashamed, but his wife, she records him and puts it on the internet for everybody to see. But I guess it proves that she loves her husband because she's the things she say about him. But I'm like, this is. If he wants to break free, why is him cross-dressing and dancing to Lady Gaga in a restaurant? Why is that? Just like the writer saying, "Oh, this is a form of expression." I give this comic a thumbs down. I'm just perplexed by it. I had to talk to somebody about it.
Minus. Oh, and the most embarrassing scene was when he's in the record store, and these girls are like, "You see Pink's new video? I don't get it at all. Yeah, she's so weird. If you think Pink is weird, see now Pink. I think she's really talented.
Yes, she is.
Her music videos have a purpose. Like, you know, I don't want to be a stupid girl. I mean, that was very clever and all the send-ups that they did in that. Whereas, Lady Gaga seems very selfish and in her own world. Pink is about, you know, moral messages and that sort of stuff. Lady Gaga is all about, oh, that reminds me. There was this guy who paid like $1 million to be in one of her music videos. He was a big fan. And you know what she did with the money?
What?
Kept it all for herself. It's like, you're one of the biggest recording artists in the world right now. You could have given it to, you know, an animal shelter. You could have given it to kids with cancer. No, you just keep it to yourself so you can make stupid lobster sunglasses.
Well, to be fair to her, the CDs aren't selling like they used to sell. And, you know, and they don't make that much money off of iTunes because you just buy the songs.
But, you know, there's the ringtones, there's the music rights when it's used in other mediums. There's also the concerts. I mean, she does a lot of concerts. She must be making a fair amount of money.
That's true. She probably does make a lot of money. And why didn't she just, I don't know, he paid her. Yeah, it seems like something like that.
But $1 million. $1 million.
I
mean,
I want to know who this was and what video it was because I got to see this fool.
Yeah, I've got to find that out. We got to Google it. But it's like, okay, $1 million. How about, you know, a couple of $100 going to charity at the very least?
Okay, well, that would just be an insult. You know, just at least she would have to give at least half of it, but to make it mean anything, or 25%, something. But. Yeah, I just had to know what was going on with this comic, why they did what they did. I'm sorry I didn't review it with someone else. But now I reviewed it, which I had to ask you. You answered my question. I'm perplexed.
Oh, okay. I looked it up. How much would you pay to be in a Lady Gaga video? Well, according to Gawker, one superfan was willing to drop $1 million for the chance for a brief cameo in Lady Gaga's Alejandro music video.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. And he probably won't even say which guy it was, because there probably was a lot of guys in the video.
Yeah, there's no... details are scarce on who it is, apparently. But, apparently he is the son of a Russian billionaire. And he is either between 19 and 30 years old. That's a big gap. And is most likely the son of the 50th richest person in the world, Roman Abramovich. Okay, well, there you go.
He probably could have just got a casting agent and been in the video, you know, didn't pay it and just come over to America. He's got enough money. For far less money, he could have gotten that video. But anyway, enough. Oh, you said your friend did the cover to this. Your friend didn't do shit. This, you could do this on Photoshop.
This is an alternate cover. The one that he did. Try and find it.
He actually drew something then, unlike this cover. This cover is just...
Yeah, this was a lazy-ass cover. It's just vector art. Oh, Bullsick, that was his online name. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so I went and saw Tron Legacy last... No, night before last.
What did you think? Because I wasn't going to say it, but go ahead.
It was awesome. This is actually the first time I've seen anything opening night, because I wanted to wear my costume. I think if you wear a costume just on any random day, it's not as cool. And, yeah, I mean, see, I'd read a lot about it and followed it pretty closely, mostly so I could get my costume as accurate as possible. Although, now I'm looking at it, I want to redo it.
Oh, anyway, I saw your costume. It was good. It's pretty nice.
Thank you.
You didn't have the Frisbee, though, you said. You didn't have the...
Yeah, I'm going to go buy that today. I think they should have it now that the movie's out. I'm going to Toys R Us. I got work, 3 o'clock. So yeah, the movie is pretty much, it's everything you were expecting and more. It's a perfect sequel to the first Tron, and at the same time, I don't think you really had to see the first one to get it. Visually, it's very unique. I haven't seen anything else like it. It's sort of like when I saw The Matrix for the first time, I just sort of went, wow, why hasn't this been done before?
Wait, is that good? Is Matrix good?
Oh, The Matrix was a huge influence on me in terms of fashion.
I know that's what I'm saying. Is it Matrix level? Is Tron Legacy Matrix level? Is it really Matrix?
I think it's sort of hard to remember what
the
industry was like back then. I think visually, I think The Matrix has more things in it that were revolutionary, you know, the bullet time effect and all this other thing.
But what
all
about
these other
the feeling
things?
You had at the end of the story where Neo was victorious, and he was flying up in the sky. He's like, I'm going to get you to the robots. I'm going to be out there. We're going to defeat you.
The end of The Matrix, he was just walking out of a phone booth.
He didn't just walk out of a phone booth. He made a speech to the Matrix, and then he flew like Superman.
The first Matrix, he was talking to the audience saying, we're out there, and he walks out of a phone booth and just walks amongst the crowd.
He was talking to the Matrix itself. He was saying, he was on the phone booth telling them, you know, I'm Neo and I'm coming to get you. And then he flew up into the sky at the camera.
He didn't fly.
He did fly.
I just watched it the other day. He doesn't get his flying abilities until Reloaded.
He flew. I remember that. I didn't see the movie in a long time. But it's like,
well, look,
it was so
I've
short.
I've got the DVD right here. He does not fly. He walks out. He doesn't get any flying abilities till the second movie because if you listen to the commentary, they didn't have the ability to do realistic flying in the first one. They did try it.
They had CGI and they could have done, but my fact...
none of the CGI in The Matrix was very good. Like, the Burly Brawl on the rooftop in Reloaded, oof, it looks so rubbery and fake. So it's actually interesting to see how far CGI has come in literally 7 years. Like, you look at the Return of the King, which came out the same year, and I remember looking at it back then, I remember seeing Return of the King and cinemas going, oh my god, look at those Mumakil and, you know, it looks so amazing. And then I watch it now and go, that looks so fake. It looks like video game graphics.
But what about in the Fellowship of the Rings? Did it age good? Remember the scene with the troll in that cave when all the orcs was coming at him and there was one big giant troll? Or...
Yeah, the cave troll.
I thought that was good. It didn't.
None of the CGI aged that well, but right. Yeah, I mean, you look at stuff now, like with Kevin Flynn, the de-aged one in Tron. That's spectacular. I have to admit that in the real world, it didn't look quite right, but in the Tron world, when everything looked really artificial anyway, it worked pretty good. But
so that was Jeff Bridges playing himself younger, but didn't they?
Yeah, so they just had, you know, like, you know what they did with Dr. Manhattan? They had little dots over his face to track his motions. Well, but
that's amazing.
We're getting very close to making realistic CGI humans. If you look at video games, it's pretty good. But then when you put those graphics next to a real human, it's not quite right. But we're getting there.
Okay, all right.
Very fun movie though. The games I think are the most significant part of that franchise.
So you recommend that me and the rest of the Doom listener. Go see the movie.
Oh, yeah, everyone go out and see it. And if you've seen the first movie, you will definitely appreciate this, because it's a seamless continuation. Even though the game has changed so much, it's perfect.
Okay.
Probably my favorite movie of this year. Let's see, there was Kick-Ass, Toy Story 3, Inception, and Tron.
Okay.
Those are the best ones.
Good.
What are your favorite for this year?
Oh, I just did a show on it, too, and I got the list in front of me. I liked The Social Network.
That was boring.
Surrogates, Let Me In.
Oh, Jesus.
Kick-Ass.
The English Let Me In. Oh, you have terrible taste.
Crazies, Splice, Scott Pilgrim, and that's it. Oh, the Megamind. I like Megamind, just barely.
I haven't seen Megamind or Splice yet, but I'm interested in seeing those.
And I want to see Daybreakers and Toy Story 3, so
Daybreakers this year?
Yeah, it was this year. Because I looked on a list
it was
of movies.
So forgettable.
And I saw 36 movies this year at the movie theater, and those are the only ones that I put on my go-see list. The rest of these I put as fair or crap.
No, those movies I listed were the only movies I saw in cinema this year, because I don't really go to the cinema that much.
You saw another one this year, but I put this as a no-go. It's Iron Man 2.
Oh, Jesus, that was this. Oh, God, yeah, it was. I'll pretend I never saw that.
And you didn't see Predator. Oh, I also put Predator.
Oh, Predators! I forgot that one. Okay, I really need to think through. See, there's just, I don't know, it's really hard to remember.
Well, there's
an entire year of movies and which movies came out which year.
I went to a website that and I typed in 2010 movies, and it had all the pictures of all the movies that came out, pages of it, and I just went through what I saw, and then I wrote them all down, the ones I saw and the ones I didn't like and the ones I did like.
Iron Man 2 was just so, I mean, it's probably second to Daybreakers in terms of forgettability. I didn't even remember seeing it.
Well, you saw Daybreakers?
Yeah, I saw it in cinemas because my brother and his friend wanted to see it.
Wait, were you talking about the same one with the vampires?
Yep, with Ethan Hawke.
Yep. I heard that movie is good, but you're saying it's forgettable?
No one was saying it's good. It's just so meh. It doesn't do anything to the vampire story that you haven't seen before. It's very much a sci-fi channel movie, maybe a little better than that. In terms of visuals, I do love this futuristic noir thing they had going on, but no. See for yourself. I mean, you seem to like Jonah Hex and whatever the other thing is.
No, I put Jonah Hex on my fair list. It's just that I didn't think it was as bad as everybody said it was. I didn't think it was a great movie. I just thought it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be. But that was it. I don't want to keep you. I want to thank you for joining me, and I tried to get some other comment together and see if I can get you and someone else to come on.
Trenchcoat's apparently he can talk now, and he'll.
Who said he could talk? He can't talk. Didn't he say the trach was?
Did you look at the new comment?
Look at that. Yeah, Noah said he could communicate, but he's not talking yet, or something like that.
The one that was posted this morning.
Oh no, I didn't see that.
See, calm down. Don't get
you said you haven't been to the site in a while.
No, I just checked this morning. because you messaged me on Skype, and I was like, oh yeah, Podcast X and Thoom, that whole thingamabob.
You forgot all about us?
Yeah, well, I've had work and commissions, and I'm trying to finish off my own sewing and artwork before I actually go to WAPA. Yes, I got in. So, yeah, I've just been a bit busy right now. And then I got New Year's Eve and Batman New Year's Eve party that I'm getting ready and trying to get people to come with me. And then there's my birthday, there's Christmas. It's mad.
All right. So, thanks for joining me. This is Thoom, thoomcast.blogspot.com. Y'all check out my website, and thank you, Courtney. I don't want you to be late for work. Okay, you need a job. You need your job.
Yeah. Well, it's only 12:30 now, but I want to go into the shops and buy a couple of things from the fabric store, and then see if they've got the ID disc to complete my Tron costume.
All right. Even though you don't have nothing, you already wore it to.
Oh no! I'm totally gonna go clubbing in that because it lights up and it even does flashing lights. It's so cool.
Okay, but you weren't sad that you made it off of that female character. Was she a good character in the movie?
Oh yeah, that's the thing. When I was making it, I'm going, I hope she's a cool character, because if she's like an annoying, you know, Mary Sue, then it'll be really disappointing. But no, Quora. I love Olivia Wilde. She's awesome, and she plays this really cute, quirky character. She's a program who doesn't really have a lot of social knowledge. Like, she's only been with Jeff Bridges for the past, I think, how many years is it? It's like 10 years. So she'll laugh at things that aren't supposed to be funny, and it's awkward. It's great.
Okay, I'll check the movie out then.
It is awesome!
Better be good. You better not be referring me to a crappy movie. Be mad.
I have to say, the pacing is a lot like the first one. Have you seen the first one?
Oh, when I was a kid, I don't remember nothing about it.
Because it's a long bit at the beginning, which takes place in the real world, so that's a little dialogue-heavy, kind of exposition-y. But once you get into the world of Tron, it's just, you know, non-stop. It's exciting. It's awesome. It's costume porn. It's visual porn.
Okay, better be story porn too. It better be a good story.
So, I have to say, I was afraid that it would get, like with most, you know, visual heavy movies like Avatar, that they just sort of put the plot second. And although movies are a visual medium, you need a story to engage people and help them remember that movie
exactly. After
they walk out of the cinema. So, yeah, the plot is good. It matches up perfectly with the first one. And there's not a lot of mysteries or surprises or anything, but yeah, it's a fun journey.
Okay. All right. Bet. All right. And once again, thank you for joining me on this episode. And I'm going to send you I'm going to try to find a comic that we can review for another day.
There was something I saw that was so crack. What was it? Oh. Where's my list of comics? What I should download? Really?
You can send it to me when you find it. What it is?
I'll find it later. Yeah.
Send me the name.
Unless you can find something. Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right then. Thanks. Like I said, thanks again.
See ya.
Have a nice one.
You too.